Let's face it, living takes guts, and living a full life takes a lot of guts. Igniting Courage podcast is the place you can come to get a blast of courage from real people who are clawing their way through life just like you are. We're going to talk about big courage and also little daily courage. You'll hear people's opinions on how to build courage and how to summon it when you would rather join the circus and never be heard from again. So welcome. I'm glad you had the guts to show up for this conversation.
Hi, and thank you for joining me for Igniting Courage Podcast Episode 80. This is my interview with Erica Tebbins, business strategist and coach. I met Erica through Melissa Barker, who's the founder of Women Entrepreneurs, Inc., a entrepreneur group for women down in the southeast area of the United States. Erica and I had both done virtual programs for Women Entrepreneurs, Inc., and Melissa said, hey, you should meet Erica. You guys seem like you would get along really well. And sure enough, we did. I have a great conversation with her just to get to know her, and I said, you need to be on the podcast. She gives us some fabulous insights during this interview on the courage to sell and the courage to put yourself out there for rejection as an entrepreneur, because basically you're selling your business, you're selling yourself if you're a speaker, you're selling your product in a product-based business, you're selling your services in a service-based business, and that takes a lot of courage. And Erica had some great insights for us and some great strategies for us to build that courage. So enjoy episode 80 on Igniting Courage Podcast. Okay, well, welcome to Igniting Courage Podcast. I'm here with Erica Tebbins. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you for having me, Anne. This is fun.
Yeah. Erica is a marketing strategist and business coach, and her specialty is in selling. And one of the things I really wanted was to get some insights on the courage it takes to sell. So I'm excited to talk to you today. But before we even go there, what does courage mean to you?
I think courage is being scared, but doing it anyway. That is really how I define it. It's a misconception that it's, you know, being brave means that you have no fear or that you feel totally confident it's going to work out. I think it's the opposite. I think it's being absolutely terrified and then being like, well, screw it. I'm going to try. And I might fail, and I'm still going to try to do it.
Right. And I love that. I love that. And I always say that if you're not scared, you're not paying attention. Like, there's no risk. It doesn't require courage if the fear isn't there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is there anywhere weird that you have to summon your courage, or like funny or kind of some bizarre place?
I've been getting more into yoga and like doing yoga at home and all of that. And so I can now do crow pose, not very well. But I kept trying and trying and trying. And I was just, all I could visualize was like going face first into the wood floor, and so scary. Like, and I think that was like a big fear that was holding me back. It sounds so silly, like saying it out loud, because, you know, well, it's only a foot away. Like, I would probably be fine, but it was like to get inverted. It feels a little bit terrifying.
To find that balance. Yeah. For those of you who are not yogis, crow is when you crouch down, you put your hands on the ground, and then you rest your knees right here on your elbows. And then you balance your whole body up on your elbow. So you're just on your hands. And yeah. It is a little scary because you're like face plant to the ground.
And I don't have a lot of balance naturally. I'm also not like super flexible, and it's the only like true inversion that I can do and all of that. But like when I finally got it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
But that's awesome. Yeah, no, I dig that pose because I can do it. There are a few other ones where I'm like, I hate that one because I suck at it.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Oh, that's funny. All right. So let's talk about specifically courage in your business coaching. Mm-hmm. How do you work with people on courage, or where does it play in, and how do you think people cultivate it?
Yeah. So I think really what it comes down to, especially with selling, I think that people think that if you get more comfortable with selling, that you will just be closing sales like left and right. Like, you'll never have anyone say no to you. And that's just not true. Like, I know that there are like marketers out there who will make you believe otherwise so you can like buy their program or whatever. Nobody has 100% conversion rate, like just nobody. So I think that you have to really embrace like some people will say no. Some people will ghost you. Some people, like, I don't know, like you'll think it went great and then they say no. And, you know, like in the sales conversation, you'll be like, yeah, I think that was awesome. And then they're like, oh, just kidding. I hired so-and-so, you know, or whatever the case. So I think you have to get really comfortable with the fact that there is no 100% conversion rate. And the fact that every time you raise your price or have a new offering, it's going to feel scary all over again. So even if you're like, oh, I can sell, you know, high ticket one-on-one services or coaching or whatever it is, if you switch over, you're going to make like a lower price course and you're not used to selling something like that, it's going to feel scary all over again.
Mm. And that's, you know, it's basically saying, okay, here we go. I'm going to go get rejected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is scary.
It is. It is. It feels really, really hard, especially for women. Like, we tend to take it more personally, I think. So yeah, you just kind of have to embrace that you will hear no, and that is okay. And it doesn't mean you're horrible or your idea is horrible.
Well, and as a speaker, I'm the product. And so it's, you know, I think you and I talked about this last time we were chatting, is that when, you know, they say no, you're like, oh, but I'm awesome, you know? And so mm-hmm. there's that, not just rejecting my pen that I invented.
You're totally,
you know, all of that. So how do you coach people through that? How do you get them beyond that to kind of say, all right, let's go get rejected?
Yeah. So I think it starts with reminding them that they don't have to focus on selling to everyone. Like, just focus on the people who are most likely to buy your thing, which again, I think is really hard, especially for women who have a service-based business, because usually we're like, well, I want to help everyone. I know I could help everyone. So I want to be able to help everyone. And if I'm not making myself available to everyone, then I'm somehow bad, or I'm like keeping my, you know, my magic from people who might need it. And so I think it's okay to remember, like, you know, you could go to a grocery store and buy the grocery store brand bottled water for like $5 for a case, or you can buy one $5 bottle of Perrier. And then there's like brands in between, right? So even though it's water, something all of us need every day, something you can get from your tap, like there's still different waters for different people, and that's okay. And so I think that already, like, you'll get better results by talking to the people who are most likely to say yes. Mm. And then also just knowing that, as with anything in life, with practice, you're going to get more comfortable. Mm. And that if they are saying no to working with you, instead of getting, like, taking it to heart, just get a little bit curious, like, and really think, you know, is there something that I need to tweak that may, like, if you keep getting no, like, is there something I need to tweak? Is it something, am I still getting like the wrong type of person on the call? Am I not making something clear in like the transformation or the outcome? Like, and just try to come at it with a bit more curiosity than assumptions that like everything you do is terrible and you suck.
So yeah. Kind of approach it like a scientist, like, okay, how can we fine tune this formula mm-hmm. to make it to, you know, I didn't fail. I just now know one other way that's not working so good. Let me try a new way.
Yeah, exactly. Hmm. Exactly. And I think, and just because a lot of the people I work with, they might be nervous about like marketing and being visible, especially sometimes service-based providers. Like, a lot of clients I've had, they've gotten like really good at the one thing, and maybe they get a lot of referrals for that. So they have like a thriving business, but they haven't had to do a lot of marketing. Mm. And so now they want to start being more consistent with that. And that feels scary, and you have to be visible. So kind of remembering that marketing and putting yourself out there is more to let people know, hey, I'm here. If you're this type of person, I can help you with this. And this is how we can work together. And that by you not showing up, it makes it impossible for those people who would benefit from you to even know that you're there. Like, if you never pitched speaking to different places, then the places that say yes, where you get to go and speak, you wouldn't be able to transform the lives of those people who hear you if you can't summon the courage to potentially get rejected when you pitch yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's having that why. It's understanding, like, why am I doing this? Why am I going out to get rejected every day?
Yeah.
And I read a book a couple years ago called Go for No. And I'm trying to remember who wrote it, but it was great. And I'll put it in the comments, but it's, you know, go for no. And basically the premise is go out there instead of saying, I'm going to try to make 5 sales today, go for, I'm going to make 10 no's today. In the process of doing that, you're going to get some yeses, but in getting those no's, that becomes, oh God, I got another one. And like, it becomes kind of the game. And again, you're just approaching that rejection from a different angle.
Yeah. You're like looking forward to the rejection. And so then you're super excited when you get the yes. Like it's like, you're like, oh, I wasn't even going for the yes. And I got a yes.
Right. So, and not that you're going to sell poorly. So you get the no.
Right. One thing I really like to remind my clients of is that not now doesn't mean not ever. So there could be people who are like, you know, I think this is great. I think you're awesome. I love what you do. I'm going to keep enjoying your free content, but I can't invest right now, or my life is just too hectic right now. I won't be able to get the most out of my investment. Cause I've had that happen before too, where, you know, you're like, oh, I want to join that mastermind, or I want to, you know, do that course or whatever. And you're like, I'm just not in the right season. Like I'm not going to be focused enough to get the value out of it right now. So I need to wait.
Yeah. That's an important piece, and an important piece of that ongoing contact that we want to have with our potential clients. Just because it was no doesn't mean it's not ever, unless they say, you know what? No. And don't ever call me again.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a big believer in, you know, staying connected with people, following up with people, obviously, you know, not harassing people, but right. Just like keeping them in the loop is always good. I just think of the example of, you know, when Gap sends an email about like their denim sale, you might see it, you might click over, you might be shopping, and then something happens and you get distracted and you totally forget. And then like you get that email 2 days later, that's like, just a reminder, last day of the denim sale. And you're like, oh crap, that's right. I was gonna, oh, they were in my cart. And I, you know, it's like, we get busy. Sometimes people like legitimately just like we forget. So it's good to follow up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And keep that contact. Mm-hmm. So as an entrepreneur yourself, how has courage played in to your journey?
Oh gosh. I think it like at every point of doing something different. So 3 years ago, almost exactly right now, 3 years ago, I had a totally separate business. I had a product-based business. I had already been running businesses for over a decade at that time. Some my own, some other people's. And it sounds so stupid now, but I didn't know that what I do now was actually like a job or a career or even an option. I had no idea. But I was already coaching and strategizing two of my friends who'd started their own businesses in 2015. So we would just go out to lunch and I would basically coach them, but I didn't know I was coaching them.
I hope they were paying for lunch.
No, I mean, like we were just, you know, it's like me and two of my best friends. And, you know, we call ourselves like ladies who lunch, and we would just go out and I loved it. Like it was the funnest thing for me to give them these ideas. And I was starting to feel a little bit like, even though my other business was going well, I was feeling a bit constrained and by just the nature of selling products and all of that. And I started to get really curious, like, do people pay people to help them run their business better? Like to give them better ideas? And as I started researching, I was like, oh my gosh, it's literally a thing. And maybe I could do this. And I did the thing that is so common. I was like, well, do I need like a certificate or like a, should I go to grad school? And then I was like, no, you dummy. Like you don't need a stupid piece of paper that says you're qualified to help people with their businesses. Like you've been running businesses. You've been teaching other people how to run businesses. Like you know how to do this. So I completely shut the other business down, like at its peak. And then I took the leap over to this. And I was so scared. I was like, are you an idiot? Are you making the biggest mistake ever? But now like I'm glad I did. I'm so thankful that I did. But it for a long time, even the whole first year of getting used to being online and being service-based, I had to have a lot of faith that it was going to work out. Cause at first, you know, you don't see anything and you're like, I don't know. Like, am I just, I don't know what I'm doing, but yeah. So.
Yeah. When I first started my business, I had this picture, two pictures side by side of little girls. And one was like, had this super terrified face and one was like, so excited. And I'm like, this is me on like an hourly basis. Mm-hmm. I am freaking terrified 1 minute and elated the next minute. But you know, I think that's such an important message, is that courage doesn't go away. Yeah. We get better at things, but then mm-hmm. there are always things that we change. We bob and weave and that fear comes back. It's like a constant companion.
Awesome. Oh, always. Yeah. I think like entrepreneurs are really weird in that the moment we start to get too comfortable, we're like, oh, I have to throw everything in the air again. Like I have to make it I don't know. We're like masochists or something. Like we really are, because yeah, it'll be like, okay, well, this is good. Like I'm really, you know, getting things down and this is awesome. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, but what if I like add this thing in, you know, and it's chaos all over again.
It's totally true. I always say that comfort is outside of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. You know, once I start getting comfortable, it's like, oh no, this something's got to change. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. It's a whole thing.
So do you think you've gotten better at it? I mean, have you been able to boost up those courage muscles?
Yes. And I like that you call it a muscle. That is how I equate it. So even though I talk sales and marketing and I love it and I could geek out about it for hours. Every single time I pivot, like every single time I niche more or I raise my prices or I change my package, it's all the same fear and negative self-talk comes back. Mm-hmm. And the difference is now is that I recognize it for what it is. Like, I'm like, oh, look, it's that thought again.
Oh, you're back.
You're back. Oh, hi. You know, it's the, you know, like nobody's going to want to pay this. Everyone's going to be mad at you, you know, just all of the, mm-hmm. all of the things. So now it's just more of like trying to sort of self-coach through those moments and be like, oh, why? Okay, this is back. Why did this come back? Okay, how can I reframe it? And then just knowing that like the anecdote is really taking action, like really taking the action. Because as soon as you get, you know, a client at the new rate, you've like proven to yourself that it can be done. Like as soon as you sell one of the thing, as soon as you book one of the speaking kit, you know, like whatever it is, you're like, oh, okay. Everything's okay. It's okay.
And we remind ourselves so often of all the things that have gone wrong, of all the rejections. And we got to start reminding ourselves what goes right and how it worked one time. And I love what you said, where you will create self-talk to talk back to that, mm-hmm. that negative voice. That's what we've got to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting curious about, you know, where is this thought coming from? And like, how is this thought serving me? Is it making me hide? Is it, you know, keeping me stuck in like busy work because I don't want to just put myself out there? Like, you know, what is it doing and how is it serving me and how can I change it? I think that's really important. And again, just to embrace that, like, it's that you will always need to harness courage at every new stage. Like, you just have to.
And I think that is such an important thing to remember, is it doesn't get easier. If you want to keep moving forward and keep, not that it doesn't get easier, but the fear's there. Like you've got to do this courage thing all the time to keep it going. And that's part of the reason why I started this, was because I wanted to tell people like your fear is normal and that the work that you have to put in to like go mm-hmm. is normal. And like, that's what you have to do to get somewhere.
Yeah, it's yeah. true. And I imagine, you know, since you're a speaker, if ever there's a time, like, you know, if I get the butterflies right before mm-hmm. I teach on something or talk on something, it means like I'm excited, like I'm really pumped. And it's, and once I start going, usually that like goes away, mm-hmm. but it's any time where it's like, if I don't feel that feeling of like nervous, a little bit of like nervous excitement, it's actually like, I feel like, oh, I don't care about what this is. Mm. I'm not emotionally invested in what I'm doing. And if I'm not emotionally invested, then I shouldn't really be doing this. Like, that's sort of my signal to myself. Same thing with like an offering in my business. Like, I used to have a group program. I adored it. I ran it for 15 months. It was amazing. And all of a sudden I was no longer excited about it. And I was like, I have to end it. Mm. Like if I'm not nervous, excited to like coach, I need to not do it.
Well, you're not going to be serving your clients as well as you could be.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, that's the hard leap too, right? Cause you're like, this is going so well. It's, you know, and all of a sudden your passion's gone and you're going to start half-heartedly showing up and to say, you know what, the right move is to, and what you're saying, I guess, is figure out what is that fear telling you? Mm-hmm. Like you just said, if I'm about to go on stage, and I'm nervous, it's like, okay, good. I care. I'm excited about this. It matters to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's the feeling of like, there's like nervous, excited. And then there's like nervous, I hate this. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, not, maybe not to the extreme of like hating it, but you know, I think if you like sort of feel where it is in your body, like, am I nervous because like I'm thrilled to be able to get to do this and I really want to do my best and it's going to be amazing. Like that's a good fear, but mm-hmm. bad fear is when you're, you know, yeah, you're just like, it feels like out of integrity almost.
Like dread. Yeah. 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 Or that there's a bus coming.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, and I think that's an important thing to ask yourself when you're in that fear paralyzed place. What is this telling me? Mm-hmm. I'm scared because I care, or I'm scared because I've never done this before, or I'm scared because I could get rejected, mm-hmm. you know, and it to have that response to say, yeah, I could get rejected, but I could get accepted. And unless mm-hmm. I put it out there, they're not going to say yes if I don't even give them the chance to say yes.
Yeah.
You know, my brother said that to me once when I was negotiating a salary at a new job. He said, don't say no for them. And I was like, dang, that's smart.
Yeah.
That makes you better. Yeah. So
that is really wise. And that's, you know, what's funny. I actually like, I don't love negotiating and my husband, it like doesn't bother him at all. And I've heard other people like, especially with jobs, it's like, well, they're not going to not hire you because you're negotiating a higher salary. Like they right. already want you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good point. Like,
and it doesn't mean you can demand it and pound your fist and be mad if they don't give it yeah. to you. But heck, it means you can ask. It gives you permission to ask. If you don't totally. Ask now, you're never going to get the chance to ask again.
Totally.
Negotiating is one of those interesting things I'm trying to get better at without feeling strategy-y and sleazy.
Yeah.
That's the important part to me is I want to maintain that authenticity. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing a lot of studying on it, trying to figure out, okay, how do I take this and make it me?
Yeah.
So that I'm not so scared to use a tactic that doesn't feel right.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah that's yeah. really interesting. Yeah.
So as people are in that fear place with their business, either they haven't started it yet, or they've started it, or they're making a change or whatever, what kind of coaching do you give them? What do you recommend to them to do to get themselves through that?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, first get really curious. Like even if it's, you know, pen and paper, go old school, and just jot down, like, what are the thoughts? What are the feelings? Like, what is coming up? And then you can think, you know, so if it's, you know, I don't know, they're like, obviously imposter syndrome is like a huge one. And kind of think like, is that rooted in anything? Like, was there a time that you thought something was going to go well, but it didn't, or you thought you were going to get picked for the soccer team and you didn't. And you know, it like, is this actually rooted in something, or is this just sort of like a collective emotion that a lot of us feel? And how are you actually, like, how is that serving you? And I think the problem is, like, we think, like, how is it serving me, like, in always means, like, in a, like, a positive or a negative way. Like you could be doing something negative that is actually serving you in a positive way, but it's not pushing you forward, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. So if you're like, I don't want to get rejected, so I'm not going to put myself out there yet. I'm going to just keep tinkering with my website, because if I keep tinkering with my website, then I'm not actually asking anyone to work with me. It's not quite ready yet. And then
you're
like,
still, but you still feel like you're doing something productive. You're like, yeah, oh, no, but I'm working on my business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm so busy. I'm working on my business. Especially if you're somebody who's like, let's say you're just starting out and you're like, I go to my 9 to 5 and then I spend all my free time working on my business. And then you're like, you know, as soon as I make X amount of dollars, I'm going to quit the 9 to 5. But if you never put yourself out there to actually make money in your business, then you don't have the risk of like leaving the security of the 9 to 5. So right. It's like you're doing something negative for yourself, but it's actually serving you in the way that it's helping you stay safe.
Mm-hmm.
And because
it's
like,
soothing.
It's soothing. Yeah. Your brain is just trying to protect you because it thinks, you know, it thinks that like the lions are out there and the lions are going to get us. So I think for that, it's really the first stage is recognizing it, like recognizing how it's serving you, even if in the long term, it doesn't actually serve you in a positive way. And then thinking like, what is a more helpful thought? How could I shift this? And that doesn't have to go from negative completely 180 degrees to positive. Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to make, you know, five figures this month in my first month in business. Like, that's like a big leap. But just to be like, okay, well, how about I just stop tinkering with my website? Like, what's the next phase I'm going to go into? Like, I'll give an example of more established entrepreneurs. If you're like selling this like one-to-one service, and then you're like, okay, well, now I'm going to pivot. I'm going to do this like group program. A lot of times people get stuck in the like, well, I'm going to plan it out and I'm going to like record all these modules mm-hmm. for the training and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do all of that. So I'm not going to be able to like launch this thing forever. Okay. Like what's the minimum viable product? Mm-hmm. What could you do right now? And then just do it. And like, do it imperfectly and trust that it will be okay. And then you'll fix it as you go. And
that's because, funny. Yeah. I literally had that conversation with somebody this morning where she was like, we need to build the, you know, course. He wants to do the website. He wants to do this, but I said, we have to build the course. We have to have it already. And I was like, oftentimes I won't create stuff until I sell it. Like I'm not going to make something new. All the details and the PowerPoint and the presentation and the interaction and all of that, you know, so I was literally having that conversation this morning.
Yeah. And it's so common. When I was starting this business, I was in a mastermind and we were away at a retreat and a woman who'd been in business longer than me, she was like, okay, what you want to do is like just create like a framework for a course or a program and then sell it. And then like create the stuff as you go. And I was like, what? I'm like a total teacher's pet. I like want everything to be like nice and done. And I was like, I don't think I can do that. That's terrifying. I that'll never work. And she was like, no, I know. I used to think the same and somebody wiser than me told me that and I didn't listen. And I finally did listen and it was better. So now I'm passing that on to you. You just have to take that leap of faith and trust this is the better way to do it. And now I will literally like launch something and I'll just talk about it in my like Instagram stories. It will be like 5 bullet points. There's not even a sales page. I'm like, just DM me. Like it's so no frills. Now I'm like, oh, I can't even I don't even want to be bothered with like all doing all of the things. I just want to like launch the thing to the world.
And I heard somebody once call that a build the plane as you fly philosophy. I'm like, don't worry about the landing gear when we're up in the air. We won't need it for a minute.
Yeah. And it's so, so, so scary. But again, it's like you can build like 3/4 of the plane the first time you go up in the air and then like to trust yourself that you can do the final fourth. And then like, again, the more you work that courage muscle, eventually you get to a point where like you've only built the engine and you're like, great, we can get in the air and I know I'll build the rest of it like as we go.
Yeah. Yeah. And the pressure's on that. And that always, what that does to me is I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put it off. Like if I got to launch it, I will figure it out.
Me too.
Yeah. Yep.
One way that I like trick myself is I will put something up. So that, let's just say it's like a wait list for like a webinar or training. I will do something where somebody can opt in and it's like, thanks, you're registered for the, you know, blah, blah, blah training or whatever. Cause I know if I have even one person that has signed up, I'm like, well, I'm gonna do the whole thing now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just do it. I have to do it. That one person's counting on me. Like,
right. Yeah. So. Yeah. Love it. Love it. And I love creating that pressure. Well, I think going back to the voices, you know, you've got that fear voice, that negative fear voice. I heard a speaker once he gave it a name. He's like, let's consider that a completely different person, not like split personality kind of thing, but think of that as a different person. And you got your intentional voice saying, you know what? No, you're okay. You know, here's where it's going to go right. Calm down. Everything will be all right. And just treat them as two individuals, because when we listen to that one too much, and Jen Sincero in her book said, fear will be in the passenger seat. It'll be there talking, but you can't let it play with the radio. Like you've got to control that dialogue so that you can get over the hump.
It's true. I like to sometimes think of it as like, I've heard the analogy of like, if some like real naggy person came over and was like, you know, plops down at your dining room table and you're busy, you're like trying to do stuff around the house, you're trying to clean, and they don't want to leave, but you're like, okay, well, I mean, you can sit there and you can keep rambling on about whatever nonsense you're saying, but like, I'm really busy over here. So you're going to be talking to yourself. And if you're okay with that, I'm okay with that, but I still have all this other stuff to do. And so that's sort of, that helps me. And I've had like mindset coaches say like, you know, the more that you try to yell at that voice, the louder it gets.
Yeah.
So if you can just acknowledge it and even like almost, yeah, like be like, oh, sweetie, you're really upset. Like, let me just give you a little hug. Like, okay, but now I need to get back to work. It's still rambling, but it's like, you've turned the volume down on it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I love that analogy. I love it. Well, do you have any last tips or like somebody that's on the edge of it, but scared of it, becoming an entrepreneur, starting a business, changing something in their business? What's one piece of advice that you would have for them in that position?
I always think, what is the worst case scenario? Just like let yourself go down that mental path for a minute. Like, okay, so you launch a business or you have a business and you like raise your rates or whatever, and then things aren't working. Like, what's the worst case scenario? Like, could you just go back and like change your rates again? Probably. Could you just maybe go out and like find a different job if you decided that having a business isn't for you? Probably. Are you going to lose everything? Chances are not now. I mean, it's fairly low cost to start, like, especially an online business now. Maybe it's different if you've sunk your whole savings into like a restaurant. And then when you realize that like, you're not going to die, you're not going to be, you know, destitute. Like your ego might be bruised. You might be out some money, but like, you'll be fine. Like you can always go back to something else. You can always pivot. You'll learn from it. You'll grow from it. Like, I think that's like what if I'm really spiraling, I'm like, okay, but like, what is the worst case scenario? If I'm still alive at the end of it, it's fine. Like I can always change. And I think really like we are more fearful of the shame of other people seeing us fail. But the reality is nobody's paying as much attention as we are. Nobody is paying as much attention to like our pricing and our packages and our pivots and all of that. Like your Aunt Susan is not paying as much attention as you think she is. Like,
well, and everybody's got so much of their own stuff.
Yeah.
They're much less interested in our stuff than we think they are. Yeah. It's true. I love that.
It's true. So I think that just knowing, if you can know ahead of time that you're like, okay, well, yeah, I mean, it might not work out. I might need to change some stuff up. I might, you know, invest in things that don't work out, or I might cry in my shower like a few times. But like, again, like you said earlier, like, what's my why? What's my reason? My whole reason of starting this wasn't just like, oh, this is this fun thing that I like to do. It was, I was seeing women with amazing businesses who weren't succeeding at the level they could, because while they were an expert in their thing, they were not an expert in running a business. So I was like, if I could just show them how to better run a business, they could have more success. And they deserve success, and they deserve for the world to know about their cool thing. And so whenever I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to do something, I'm like, okay, well, why am I doing this? I'm doing this to help women be more successful in their businesses. And no, I'm not like a messiah, but like, if I don't show up, they don't know I exist. And if I'm the person that they are going to click with, then I want to be there for them. So, yeah. So I
and
think
it's
that
so,
helps.
So interesting. One of the themes that comes up, this, I'm in my 70s episodes now, and over and over and over, it comes up, reach out, get help. And so what you're saying is you want to build courage in that business, reach out, get somebody who knows how to run a business. You may know everything about running and running shoes, but you don't know anything about running a running store. That's what business coaches are for. Reach out to somebody, get that help, build your competence, which builds your confidence and your ability to say, okay, I got this.
Yeah.
I love it. Erica, thank you so much for your time, for your insights. I'm going to put your website in the show notes and everything so people can get in touch with you if they're interested, they have questions or anything like that. But thank you so much. This has been awesome.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. And if, you know, if any of the people listening are entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs, I try to break all the concepts down really simple in my podcast, which is called Sell It Sister, which is out every Wednesday. So it's simple sales and marketing stuff and mindset and just all of that to really help people feel a lot more capable and confident in what they're doing.
That's awesome. And I've started listening to it too. So Sell It Sister is the name of Erica's podcast too. So we'll put that in the notes as well. So you can grab that. Erica, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. I loved it.